Hi. Welcome to Holden Village. Today is Friday, August 2nd, 1996. In the fireside room this afternoon, our speaker is Buddy Mendez. Today's session number is 4 and is titled, Understanding How Your Spouse Misunderstands You. Let's listen in.
Roll that tape. My name is Buddy Mendez, and the title of this session is Understanding How Your Spouse Misunderstands You. And what I'm going to be sharing with you today is a 4-factor personality test, or a test of behavioral styles, is what the makers of this test like to call it. Referred to commonly as the DISC, or the Personal Profile System. And there's lots of 4-factor personality tests out there. There's what is your color, red, white, blue, or green, I think. There's the behavioral matrix, controller, promoter, analyzer, and something else, I can't remember what. But this is another 4-factor personality test. The basis of this test goes back all the way to 1948. The test itself was developed in about 1964. And it's been revised recently in the 1990s to improve the reliability and validity of the test. The test comes in many different formats. One is just a paper, kind of a coin rub paper format called the Personal Profile System. They use a lot in businesses. There's a computerized report that you can get to show your DISC profile. The one I brought with me today is called the DISC Relationship Profile. And this is a little booklet, and it allows each spouse to take the test. You can see the whole test is right here. There's only 28 items to the test, and it's a coin rub. And what you do is you, out of 4 choices, you mark the one choice that most describes you and the one choice that least describes you. And after you mark this up, you're able to score yourself on the DISC dimensions, see how much D you have, how much I, how much S, and how much C. And then also in the relationship profile, there's one for one spouse and one for the other spouse. And then toward the back, it talks about how to score your score, how to interpret your score, what each of the letters stand for and what they mean. And then there's a really nice little handout here. If your partner is a D and you're a high I, let's say, what kinds of conflicts might you run into. And then in the back, there are some exercises you can do. Now, the reason I didn't hand this out to everybody is because they cost $15 a piece. So I'm a distributor for DISC, Carlson Learning Company that produces these DISC profiles. I went through their training seminars, and so I can buy the tests through Carlson, and then I can distribute them. I use it a lot in my premarital counseling and my marital counseling, and working with pastors at churches to try and do team building types of exercises, conflict resolution. Where else have I done DISC? Oh, I do it at universities with student development teams, that people that work together in the area of student development to help them become more aware of how they can work better together as a team. And I think it's a nice idea, the idea that we all have different behavioral styles or personality styles, and the goal really is to just understand and accept that we're not all the same and that we're all different, and that one way of doing something isn't necessarily the right way of doing it. There can be many ways to do things. It reminds me of the passage in 1 Corinthians about the body of Christ being made up of many different parts, and the eye, there's an eye and a foot, and the eye doesn't say to the foot, I don't need you. You know, the eye's not going to go anywhere without the foot, right? And the foot can't say to the eye, I don't need you, because the foot's going to walk into a wall if the foot doesn't have the eye. So it's the same way, I think, in a marriage. Two people come together with different personalities, different ways of relating, and different ways of viewing the world around them. And I think that you can really benefit your marriage by not trying to change your spouse to become like you, but rather to just appreciate and accept them for who they are. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. Is I'm going to talk about the disc, and I'll talk about the four different dimensions of it, the D, the I, the S, and the C. And like somebody said earlier, I'm really condensing a two-day seminar into 45 minutes or so. So if at any time I lose you or something like that, feel free to raise your hand and ask some questions. Also, I brought 10 of these DISC relationship profiles. If any of you are really the type of people like myself, that anytime I see a psychological test, I want to take it. I don't know if it's legal for me to sell these to you or not, but here or not. But if it's not legal for me to sell it to you here, I'll give it to you here, and you can send me a donation in the mail or something. I guess. I don't know. But I do have to pay for these. That's why I just can't hand them out to everybody. So I'll leave these here afterwards. And you're welcome to look at it. At other seminars, I leave them out to people to look at, and they take them. And because I forget to say, please don't take it. You can look at it, but please don't take it. So let's talk about the DISC, the D-I-S-C. I've given you a handout, which some people don't have, which summarizes the characteristics of the different tendencies, the D, the I, the S, and the C. First thing I probably need to say is that when you take the test itself, the Forced Choice 28-item test, you have to decide what setting you're going to answer for. And so some of us in the work setting may be high on D, but in the relationship setting, we might be low on D. So what I want you to think about today is, how much do I relate to this particular tendency in my marriage or in my relationship? So that may be different than how you are at work. At work, my D, for instance, is a lot lower. And in my relationship with my wife, because her D is so low, my D goes up a bit more. So this is just kind of, when you look at these characteristics, try and see which one might apply to you in your relationship. Okay? So let's start with the D. The D stands for dominance. And the dominant tendency are people who know what they want, they go after it, they like immediate results, they like quick decisions, they can be adventurous and competitive. And they're not afraid to openly express how they feel and to question how things are done. They like to take charge of situations. They like opportunities for their own personal accomplishment. And they like varied and new activities. I was talking to someone the other day who was a high D. And constantly changing jobs. And when that person would get in a job that got repetitive, wanted to get out of it. These don't like that kind of repetition in their jobs. They want new challenges. And then the personal developmental opportunity or development opportunities is a fancy way of saying weaknesses. So learning to pace yourself better and recognizing that other people aren't as much in a hurry as you are, and just thinking that other people have needs and be careful not to step on toes, and know that sometimes there is an existing way of doing things. And it might be best not to deviate, at least right away from that. The Gary Smalley, I don't know if anybody's heard of Gary Smalley and John Trent. They do some infomercials, and John Trent has actually gone through the DISC training, and they talk about this in their marital enrichment stuff. And I like the way that they have an animal that goes with each letter. And does anybody know the animal for the D? It's the lion. Yeah, the animal for the D is the lion. So that's the D. So think about, you know, where would I be? Would I be kind of midpoint on that, low or high? So that for today, we'll just think, am I low, midpoint, or high on that? And you could fall anywhere on that continuum. Okay, let's talk about the I. The I is influence on the handout, but I like to think of the word interacting. Oh, let me go back to the D for a second. The D, the dominant. I think other words are like directive is real a good word, and decisive I think is a good word to describe the D. The I, again, interactive, enthusiastic, friendly, sociable, warm up easy people, talkative, they like entertaining, they like to be recognized. concerned about maybe how they dress or how they look. They like a work style where people have more casual working relationships, and they like to have fun. The eyes like to have fun. They like to have a sense of humor. The problem is that sometimes they can get so into a relationship that they can get disorganized or maybe come late to things. And sometimes they need to focus more on details. Eyes tend to forget details of things. Okay, the next one is the S, and that is the steadiness. Oh, the animal for the eye is the otter. The otter. The next one is the S, and that's the steadiness. The animal for the S is the golden retriever. Golden retriever. The S's are loyal, steadfast. You can count on them. They'll always be there. You know, they like established procedures. They like to know what's expected of them. They're more behind the scenes type of workers. The S's, they don't want to be in the limelight. A lot of times the I's and the D's will be more than happy to take credit for what an S does. You know? They're easygoing and low-key. Very sensitive. I guess a good word that starts with S would be sensitive. Sensitive to criticism. Sensitive to how they might be perceived. But kind of not really expressive about it. In other words, they may not talk a whole lot. They might listen more, be more reflective. And so you can hurt, a D could step on an S's toes, and an S could be hurt, but not let the D know it. Because the S's are the ones who want to be more assertive than they are, you see. And they tend to be more passive, whereas the D's want to be more assertive because they tend to be too aggressive, you see, and assertive kind of being in the middle. They like sincere appreciation. They're great listeners. The S's are great listeners. They work together. They're harmonizers. S would be don't rock the boat would be an S. And they need to learn how to handle change better. Change and transition is really hard for an S. They like to know kind of what's going on. S's like to sit in the same pew at church. Okay? I's are probably just going to sit wherever there's a seat because they were talking outside beforehand and the conversation ran over, and so they got late, let's say. And the D's are the ones who see a really good seat. Excuse me. And they don't mind doing this, you know. Come on, honey, come on. You know, motioning over to their spouse who's an S or whatever, a C, and that sort of thing, you know.
And they're so embarrassed.
Yeah, and their spouse is just, you know, so. And the D doesn't see anything wrong with it. Hey, you should appreciate me. I'm getting you a good seat. You know, that sort of thing, you know. All right, let's see, the S, learning to be more assertive. The S's are, you know, you go to something, then afterwards you're hanging around. What do you want to do? Yeah, what should we do now? You want to go eat? And what's the S say?
I don't care.
I don't care, whatever you want to do. Well, where do you want to go? Hey, I don't care, where? But, you know, burgers? Yeah, burgers are fine. You know, the S is a vegetarian, you know. Yeah, burgers are fine. Maybe I'll just like take the meat out and eat the lettuce and the tomato or something. The S's are just very, they'll go along with the flow. And then the person that makes the decision would a lot of times be the D, you know. Or the D might make a decision. The I would say, oh, that place is such a dud. Nobody goes there. It's too quiet. I know a place that's really popular. But you have to stand outside in line to get in. The I's don't mind because why? You can talk in line and get to know each other better, you see. And if you stay out late, no big deal. You know, the eyes don't have those kind of boundaries, those rules that would inhibit them so much. And so the S's like to go places where they've been before. you know. So the S would have like a favorite restaurant that they like to return to see. The S's are the ones who will reread a novel. The S's will see a movie a couple of times. You know, if you're going out on a date and you're 18 years old and you're nervous that your date may not like the movie and you're an S, maybe you'll just go out and see a bunch of movies, see which one you know is good, and then just go see that one again. You know, it's a sure thing. The S's like those kinds of sure things, you know. The next one is the C. And this is where I score the highest on. And this is conscientiousness tendency. And the C's animal for the C is the beaver. And the C likes accuracy. Maybe the beavers do too, I don't know. Accuracy, they like to be logical, systematic, organized, thorough. They're cautious. They're critical is a C word for the C. Critical of themselves and critical of other people. When I do this with work teams, the high C a lot of times will think, will talk to the staff, I'm not really that critical, am I? And then the C's like the supervisor, right? And then all the workers underneath kind of, you know, look down in a way because they think, yeah, you are critical of us. But you're also really hard on themselves, the first thing they say back, you know. So it's not like you're harder on us than you. But the C's don't realize it. They don't realize how critical they are because they don't think they're measuring up to the standards that they want. Perfectionistic standards sometimes, especially if you have a high S and a high C, you can get into that perfectionism. Careful, quiet, more reflective. They sometimes will have some really good things to say in a group, but they'll hold it in and they won't say it. Like if you're having a Bible study and you ask a question to the group, the first person to answer the question might be an I who thinks they've got the answer, and they tell a story or something that's really funny and entertaining, but maybe they didn't answer the right question. You know? And who's thinking that but the C? The C is the one thinking, that wasn't the question. You know? And the I say, so what? We had fun discussing it. Isn't that what the question is for? You know? And the D is the one who says, that's a stupid question. I can think of a better question than that. Why don't you ask this question? You see, they'll challenge the leader of the study. And the S will say, can't we just all get along here? You know, they're saying, well, the S is saying, well, the I kind of answered the question if you look at it this way. You see, it is an answer to it. So the S's are putting it together. The S's will be quiet. So the C's are quiet and they're judging other people, but they're judging other people quietly. That's the difference between the D and the C. The D will just say it, whereas the C's will think it. You know, if you hear a preacher and you don't, and the C's are listening and evaluating. That's what they do. They evaluate when they listen. The S's just listen a lot of times to understand. The I's don't listen very well because they want to talk. Say they want to. They're thinking about what they're going to say back. Okay, so that's the D-I-S-C, and then depending on whether you got the pink or the yellow, I think, you have some things, keys for relating to each of these styles in terms of what they want, and I'll let you look at that later. And does everybody have this page, Understanding Disc Strengths Out of Control? I know it's on the pink one because I have the pink one. I don't know. Is it on the yellow one?
Yeah, it is.
It is? Okay. If you can find it somewhere in there on the yellow one. It's the page is titled Understanding Disc Strengths Out of Control. Yeah. This is kind of interesting because it tells you that whatever your style is, and remember, you're not just necessarily high on one of these things. You could be high on D, high on I, low S and C. Or let's say an IS or an IC, I see a lot. I see a lot of people who are high in S and C. DC is another common pattern where you're high in both of these. This is a tough one because you want to do it right because you're a C, but then you want to do it quickly because you're a D, so you have a lot of tension. Headaches, migraine headaches, people are the DC. And so it's interesting to know that when you're comfortable and when you're under a lot of stress, you can be a different response. So the high D, when they're comfortable, quick and decisive. And those sound pretty positive, right? But then when they get stressed out, intense, domineering, cold, and uncaring. So sometimes when you ask somebody, you know, why did you marry so-and-so? Well, because she was so decisive, and she got things done, and she knew how to take charge, and she could really stand up for herself. And then 5 years down the line, what's the problem in the relationship? Well, she's so domineering, and she's so cold and uncaring, and she steps on my toes. So you can see how it's the flip side of the same behavioral style. And under stress, these the more negative sides of it can tend to come out. Okay, and then the I, enthusiastic, social, sounds good. But then the careless and undisciplined and irrational. And I think the I's under stress, they attack too. And they might exaggerate when they attack. So they might say something that they really don't mean. The I's can say something they don't mean. The S's probably won't do that. The C's probably, C's are very accurate. So what a C says, they mean. But I's may exaggerate a little bit. And so someone like a C, like I'm a C, my wife's an I, high I. So she'll say things to me, and I take it very hard. But I realize that she was just getting her, ventilating her emotions and exaggerated a little bit. At least that's what I, how I view it, so I can continue to go on, you know. S, systematic and structured, and then indecisive. That's, a lot of times people say, well, S's sound like pretty, you know, nice people to be married to, but because they're so easygoing and listeners and helpful and thinking about your needs, but the indecisiveness can wear on you. And also, you might get the silent treatment from the S's. When they get angry, they may give you the silent treatment, so that can be frustrating too. And then the C's, analytical, orderly, and then organized. And you know, my wife likes that about me. When we plan a trip, I find out, you know, where we're going. I've got it all mapped out and highlighted and hotel set up and where we're going to eat and what we're going to do. And she, you know, that's nice. She doesn't think of anything. But when I get too structured to where I forgot to schedule in, like, having a good time, you know, then it gets a little overboard. You know? Okay, honey, 15 minutes. We're supposed to, like, have fun now, okay? It's in the schedule. Let's do it, you know. And the I's are much more spontaneous, you know, and the C's are much more careful. So, you know, the I's would be he or she who hesitates is lost, right? That would be the I's motto. And the C would be, any ideas? Look before you leap. It would be the C's. You see? And so they're different. I saw a license plate one time, and it fits the I's, I think. It says, always late, but worth the wait. You know, that's an I. And think about it. If you have a party, I know when I have parties, parties at 8 o'clock. So at 8 o'clock, who's going to be there?
The D's
are in a hurry to get there, so they may be there. The C's may be there because they're concerned about being there at the right time. And the right time is 8 o'clock. And the S's may be there as well, maybe for a different reason. Maybe because they would feel more comfortable because maybe there won't be very many people there, and so they won't stand out. You know, so he's kind of walk. They want to get there a little bit late, so there's some people there doing something, but not. You know, when you get there really late, everyone may look at you, and the S doesn't want that to happen. And then if it's a potluck, the S's bring really good food. You know, the S's are like the main dish people. You know, they actually took some time and cooked something. You know? The C's, you know, might like go to a really good high quality restaurant and get some really good high quality food so people could compliment them on, you know, how good it is, or find a really good recipe and go with it. And the I's are the ones, at least just my experience, you know, that you know, potato chips, six pack of Coke on the way.
Here.
You know. So if you know some I's, don't assign them appetizers.
No.
You know,
don't
assign them appetizers. Okay, so the D's, what do the D's do? I'm not a D, see, I don't know much about the D's. I'm low on D, usually. I would think maybe, one of everything. I don't know if we have any D's here. They
tell other people what to bring.
Yes, there you go. The D's would assign it to their spouse. Can you pick up this on the way? Thank you. You must be married to them. No, that's exactly what a D. D's are delegators. They're very good at saying, okay, there's five of us here. You do this. And then all of a sudden, D, what are you doing, D? You know? Well, I'm organizing and delegating. You know? That's what the D's do. They're really good at that. Okay. Let's say you... I'll just give you an example of differences. Let's say you're on a golf course, and even the difference between the D, I, S, and C. The C's are the ones on the golf course who are very concerned about hitting the ball properly. And so they're going to look at their stance, and they've taken lessons and looked at the videos, and head down and head still and left arm straight and get your weight distribution, and they're going to be taking practice swings. Like when somebody else up the tee, the C's are the ones that are still practicing. And they're going to go to the putting green. They're worried about their scores. The S's are the ones who you go first. You know, you hit first. They'll defer. They'll let you go first. They go to the same golf course because they feel comfortable at that particular golf course. They have the same old clubs they used for years and years because they just couldn't stand to change golf clubs. And the D's would be the ones who are more competitive. And the D's are the ones who maybe hit the ball off to the side and then just kick it in bounds. And you know, take an extra shot or something like that. The eyes, I know the eyes because my wife did this one when I took her golfing with me. They really enjoy the golf cart itself. that's their favorite thing. You know, wow, this is cool, up and down the hills, through the mud, you know, around the corners. And you know, they're having a good time. She just skipped a few holes. And you know, I'm a C, orderly, you know, organized. You can't do that. You can't skip holes. Sure I can, you know, why not? You know, they get to kick me off the course. But your score is going to be, who cares about a score? You know, it's beautiful, nice view of scenery and things like that. Okay, I know in the pink one, we have DISC environments, and it says, Hi D, Paul, case study, X. I don't know if that's in the yellow one or not. Is that in the yellow one? Maybe not. If it's not, I'll just briefly mention here then that a guy named Ken Bogus, who lives in Houston, Texas, and I spent some time with him, and he's really into the DISC. Well, what he did is he actually tried to compare DISC styles to biblical characters. And so he came up with some biblical characters. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to ask you who you think the biblical characters. So don't look if you do have it. Who do you think, what letter do you think would be Paul? Paul, D, I, S, or C?
D.
D, yeah. Paul, he said, was a D.
He's got a strong C in the field.
Yeah, DC, exactly. Yeah, DC. And the D's, interesting, like Paul's conversion was pretty radical. He had to get blinded, basically, to get his attention. And that's kind of, if you talk to D's and you ask them, you know, for them, when they make a decision and decide to maybe move in a different direction, sometimes they have some pretty powerful stories to tell like that. Peter, anybody guess Peter? Yeah, that's what Ken was saying. I mean, this is just his judgment based on, but he thought Peter was an I. Peter was kind of impulsive, you know, with things. And he was one who would not look before he left. He would just blurt out something, let's say. And that's kind of what I's tend to do. And then Abraham... he thought maybe S, and Moses, C. So, interestingly enough, you know, what his point was is that God dealt with all these people in different ways and paid attention to, it seems, where they were at and what their behavioral style was. So in marriage, then the idea becomes, maybe I can think about where I'm at on this disc and where my spouse is, and begin to try and love my spouse the way that my spouse would want to be loved, given his or her behavioral style, not the way I would want to be loved, given my behavioral style. Okay? So, like, let's say my graph looks something like this. Really low on S, unfortunately. The I's and S's, if you've heard of task and relationship orientation, I's and S are very relationally oriented. D's and C's are very task oriented. And so I tend to forget to say, hi, how are you doing, before, did you get the papers photocopied sometimes, you know? And it's more task oriented. Then let's look at my wife's. Her D is also low. Her I is high and her S is high. And her C is very low. So if you look at our marriage, you can think, okay, where are we going to have conflicts in our marriage, my wife and I? Well, you know, take your pick. You know, this is about the only thing that, you know, we have in common. And this happens a lot. Somebody yesterday, was that you? Yesterday said opposites in the relationship? Yeah. Opposites sometimes do attract, right? And we may find, if we kind of profile ourselves with our spouses, that we do get some real differences. And so that, for instance, when I go dancing with my wife, I find it really neat that she's so outgoing and friendly and warm, and she can be really spontaneous. And that's very difficult for me to do that. How many people come up to me and tell me, your wife is so nice, she's so friendly, and I'm really attracted to that. And so I married her, you know? But this is really hard for me, you know? Especially when I'm stressed, it's hard for me to be friendly, to be, you know, out there socially. It's a little easier this week because I'm on vacation, you know? I just kind of drive all the work back at home. But, and then the C, you can see how she can just let something go, you know? My wife can play before the work is done. For me, that's really hard. For me, it's like I have to finish the work and then I can let myself play. And so, like, I'll do laundry, you know, and put the laundry out on the bed and start folding it, you know, nice and neat and organized, and so I can put in the right drawer for the right type of clothes. That's Caesar into that sort of stuff. And, you know, what she'll do is she'll run in and start jumping on the bed all over the laundry, you know? And I'm like, cut it out, I'm trying to fold this, you know? Let me finish and then we'll play, you know? But by then the moment's gone, right? And so I lose, right? You know that, and I like that about her, though. I like it. It's like I like it, but then it's hard for me too, and so that's what happens. And she likes the fact that I do plan things, and I seem to know where I'm going, and I have goals. But sometimes that can bother her too. So the thing is, the things that we like about the person, the flip side of it can be something that irritates us as well. And to try and focus on the strengths as well. Okay, let me stop and take some questions at this time. Any questions about the disc at all? Because I went really, really fast. And you can keep those handouts and look at other traits and characteristics and so on. Nobody? Yeah, in the back. Does it work? For us, it does. You know, I think that in our relationship, sometimes when I do something that irritates my wife, like, let's say, for instance, we're traveling somewhere and I say, did you remember to bring Brennan's jacket? Okay? Now, at first, that may irritate my wife. She may feel that I'm criticizing her and saying she's a bad mother, and because I'm assuming that she would forget his jacket. That might be how she would interpret that. But
what if she turns the question around and asks you if you go?
Well, If I brought the jet, did you bring the jet? Well, it's already been decided beforehand that she's going to pack his clothes, let's say, okay? So, I mean, sometimes I'll pack certain things that she'll pack, but let's say she committed to doing this particular task, and then I might check on it. Now, as an I, she may forget, and she has forgotten to bring things places sometimes, so that's part of... She doesn't pay attention to the details. Sometimes she will forget. And so I want to make sure we have this particular thing, so I ask her if she brought it. But then she feels that I'm criticizing her for doing that. But then she'll remember that I'm really high on C. And then she can say, oh, you're just being a C again. And I can say, yeah, I am being a C. C's worry about those things. We worry about the details. And it's not that I'm showing a lack of confidence in her. It's just that I'm appeasing my own anxiety about wanting to know that I have everything on the trip. And so that's where this can come in handy, because it helps you not to personalize things so much. So let's say my wife is out with her friends, and she says she'll be home by 10 o'clock at night. And it's 10 o'clock and she's not home. And I'm worried. And she forgot to call because she was having so much fun, right? So she was having a great time with her friends, so she forgot to call me. It was a detail that she didn't think about. Well, then if I'm at home and it's 10:30, I'm not nearly as worried, because I know that this is in her, it's something that she would do. I could see her having so much fun that she would forget to call me or something like that. Now, if it's midnight or something like that, then I start to worry, you know? Or, you know, we have this system now where she carries a phone with her, so that helps me. It's kind of like you work out a solution that helps the I feel like they don't have to have the pressure of remembering to call you, but then the C feels like they can feel that they don't have to worry. So by her carrying the phone, you know, then I can call her or whatever. But then she forgets to turn the phone on. You do the best, you know. You do the best you can. All right. So that's kind of how it would be helpful. Well, is there any other questions about this before we move on?
Okay. Are there certain combinations that work better together than others?
You know, I get asked that question a lot, and there's no research on that, so I can't really answer it from a research perspective. And I would say, every combination would have its own unique challenges, you know. It's like, you know, if you're both low on D and low on, high on S, let's say, you may not have a lot of fights, like where you're yelling and stuff, but there may be more just this quiet tension that pervades the relationship that nobody talks about, you know. And if you're both high on D, it's really hard to agree with each other, and you might be constantly bickering back and forth. It kind of goes with the talk I gave on communication, where I said 5 positives to every 1 negative. That ratio, doesn't matter if it's 50 to 10 or 5 to 1. And so the D couple might have the 50 to 10. They're more expressive, and that could be about positive or negative, you know? And then the S couple could have the 5 to 1 ratio. So, I don't know. Any other questions about this? Well, let's take some real issues then. Let's take, this is not on your handout, but let's just take something like going out to dinner. And let's say you've got someone who is a high D, or let's just say dinner. Let's just take dinner. Let's take a dinner, a high D and a high S. And let's say this is the male and female, or the husband and wife. What conflicts do you think you could see there with going out to dinner? Any ideas?
Well, he's going to want to go at a certain time.
What's that?
He's going to want to go at a certain time.
Well, actually, his certain time is going to be when he wants to go. That would be more like the D. Yeah. Well, when I'm ready to go to dinner, now let's go. Now, the S might be more like the certain time. You know, like, the S might be more comfortable having dinner at 7 o'clock every night. So that might be more like the S. But the D, yeah, is going to be basically not even thinking about maybe when dinner would be convenient for the S, but more or less, okay, I've got this meeting, I've got to do that, then I come home. Honey, let's go out to dinner tonight. and maybe not even thinking about the fact that she took out some chicken or meat or something beforehand. So that might be a problem. Any other problems that you can see with that, the D and the S?
Where to go.
Where to go, yeah. So with
the
that.
D would be willing to try different things. And
yes.
Maybe have thought about it beforehand and decided.
Yes.
That, Iranian would be really fun. To
yes, exactly.
The S is looking for a good hamburger or something.
Right. So the D likes new and varied things. The D is very adventuresome. They'll go to the ethnic restaurant that just opened on the corner. Whereas the S would say, why don't we wait a little bit and talk to our neighbors and see how it is first before we go, you know? Yeah.
For us, we're the opposite, but for us it would be me wanting to go and him not even, you know, saying let's go out for dinner, but he wouldn't even agree to go. Mm. His response is, you know, I don't even want to go eat. Let's just fix something easy at home.
Yeah.
No, I just want to go out.
Okay.
So it wouldn't even, you know,
yeah.
Just getting out the door.
Who would be more of the homebody? Probably the S,
yeah.
Right?
Just
the S might be
the
more
door.
Comfortable. Mm-hmm. Well, let's just go get it and bring it home and eat it. You know, the D might, like if it's really crowded and there's a lot of people, the D and the I, this is great, you know, this is fun, this is energetic. The S is like, well, you know, let's, you know, go home and eat it. Or if there's not a table available, but there's one table, let's say there's one table that has one chair, the D has no problem ask, can I use this chair and take it over here or something? And the S might be uncomfortable with that. Or the S might just go where the D wants to go and then 2 days later say something about it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But not directly, indirectly. Like, I kind of have a stomach ache. You know? Why do you have a stomach ache? Oh, I don't know, maybe it was something I ate 2 days ago. That's how the S is good. All right, let's... we've got some time here. This is something my wife and I went through, buying a house. And she is a high I, and I'm a high C. She's also got an S. So can you imagine maybe what we went through buying a house? Any ideas?
Check everything out to make sure it was all sound and secure.
Who would that be? Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked at a lot of houses on my own. She got tired. Yeah, she got tired of looking at it. Yeah.
Let's buy it and worry about how to pay for it later.
Let's buy it. Yeah, that's her, right? But let's get it. Looks good to me. Let's buy it. And I'm thinking, this is the biggest investment we're ever going to make in our entire life. Do you realize what the mortgage payments are going to be and how much money we make and what the mortgage is and what the difference is and so on and so forth? Yeah. Any others? Yeah.
But I bet she enjoyed the experience.
She had fun.
Right.
Yeah. It was fun to look at the houses and to walk through them.
Uh-huh.
And she
talk
was more...
to the realtor.
Yeah, talking to the realtor. There you go. We changed realtors. You know, we changed realtors because she didn't like our realtor. She wasn't friendly. She wasn't nice. Friendly and nice. So we had to change realtors. Okay, what else? How about the type of house that we were looking for?
Something that looks good and practical. I think I'm an eye, so that's what was most important was when I walked in, you know, what did it look
first
like?
What's
did
the
it
appearance?
Feel, or yeah. On the outside, did it have it interesting?
Well, she would look at the house and look at the furniture inside and the things on the wall. And say, it looks really good. And I'm saying, honey, you got to imagine it without all the furniture and the artwork on the walls, because when we buy it, it's going to be empty. Think about the structure and the roof and, you know, this sort of thing. And you know, that was always the hard thing. You know? Was there one over here?
Colonial.
The what?
Colonial style.
Colonial style? For who?
You.
For me? Okay. All right. I think for her... can we entertain people in this house? You know, what's the entertain? The kitchen, for instance, we look at some houses where the kitchen had a wall on it, and so basically when you're in the kitchen, you can't see anybody else in the house. And then other houses had the kitchen that opened up into the living room or something like that. That was her preference. And then the house that we ended up buying had a nice little patio with a table that you could entertain, have parties, and have people come outside and inside and so forth. So that was something that appealed to her as well. Okay, so you got the idea. Somebody else give me an example. I thought of a couple. Yeah.
I have a question.
Oh, question, sure.
Kind of going back to the communication styles that you talked about, yeah, or like ways to,
yes,
communicate. Has anyone analyzed whether those are kind of stacked toward D's or something like that? Because it seems like some of the techniques you talked about are going to be very difficult for them or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. The I statements, for instance, would be real difficult for the S, you know, because it's assuming that they have to be more assertive, basically, to say, when this happens, I feel this way and this is what I want. Those are really, that's really easy for a D. And a C, I think, could even do that, but an S would have a really hard time, because when I say how I feel, that's going to hurt their feelings, and I don't want to do that. And I don't want to say what I want. You know, that's, I feel selfish when I say what I want. So, yeah, I think a lot of the communication stuff values direct communication over indirect communication. And the S's tend to be more indirect. So you know, we've dealt with that because my wife's got a high S. I tell my wife, you know, I don't mind if you're indirect in your communication, as long as I know what it means. You see? So it's like, why did psychologists say communicate directly? And the reason they say that is just so the message that's intended will equal the message that's received. Okay? So whatever message I intend to send is the same as the message that my partner gets. So even if that's indirect, and this has to do with cross-cultural communication too, because in certain cultures, indirect communication is preferred over direct. But they know what they mean. Like in her family, her Japanese family, they all communicate indirectly, but they know what each other means. I don't, you know? So I say, please, with me, maybe a little bit more directly, or at least explain to me when no means yes and when no means no. You see, I need to know that. So I'm trying to learn that. So I think that's what you can do with the S, to say, I'm not going to communicate like the D, but here's what this means, or here's what I intended. You know,
is paraphrasing difficult also for S's? Like, I mean, this is what I hear you say.
Well, I think anything where they feel like they've got to express something is difficult. S's would rather just be quiet, you know. So anytime I'm talking about conflict resolution, you know, I'm talking about you've got to do something. And the S's would rather just, let's not have conflict. You know, let's just let time pass, kind of a thing. So your conflict avoiders are going to be your S's, you know. So one thing I like about D's is I know where I stand with a D at all times, you know. And motivation is different. You know, the S's need you to take your time and be more sensitive. You know, the D's, you can just kick them in the butt and they're fine with that. So, the C's, you have to explain why you're doing what you're doing to help a C get motivated to do something, you know. So it just varies, you know.
I'm just curious, a combination of high, you kind of have things in a polarized picture there to a degree. And I'm just wondering, you know, how often is it really like that? Or does somebody who might sort of be in the middle on the S and in the middle on the C and in the, you know, high on the D, or the combinations, I would think, would change what you're saying about each situation radically.
Right. Generally speaking, people are high on one or two points. And by high, I mean above the midline. But you see all kinds of different graphs here. And so the examples that I give are very extreme examples. And so, and my wife and I, our marriage is really extreme. But you may get a marriage that's much more closer. And so the issues are much harder to identify, much more subtle, I think. And it's not as obvious, maybe, you know. So I guess that's what I would say. You know, and also different situations. Like when I'm at home, I might, my D may be higher than when I'm at my parents' house. It may go down. So I may react differently at my parents' house and let my dad be the D then. And that may not make sense to my wife. But we can talk about this. This is what we do a lot of times when we meet people, and and we'll say, oh yeah, that person was really a high S or something. And it just helps us to understand and communicate. And we've analyzed our parents and and it helps us, to not be so angry and take things so hard and so personally, and to be more respectful of an understanding of other people too. But yeah, I've had people that score like straight across practically, but it's rare. Usually people will identify one of them in terms of a higher area in their relationship. Let's see. Yeah, question.
Is it predictable then if someone is high in say, like you said, your wife or yourself, or you're mm-hmm. both sort of high in two areas?
Yeah.
That the areas that the I comes out and the areas that the S comes out? You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like in social settings.
Right.
Your wife is very outgoing.
Right.
But in communicating, say, she's an S, and so...
Right.
Is that pretty predictable that you can say, well, in this type of setting, this is my I personality, so that... Mm-hmm. Or does it change?
Well, I think it's pretty predictable, in a setting with, like, let's say my wife and I are meeting somebody new. The way that she relates to that new person is pretty predictable, maybe whether she meets at her hair salon or at Holden Village is going to alter it a little bit, so there's some variability, but I think there's enough consistency that we can talk about these things and have it people relate. A lot of times when people take the test and they're kind of skeptical, and then they read the little paragraph that describes them or whatever, and that is how I do it. That is how I relate to people. Yeah.
I guess I'm wondering how old is this test?
Well, the ideas for the test are really old. Like 1948, this guy Marston wrote a book about different styles of personalities. The test itself goes back to 1964, and then three different publishers have kind of taken the disc, and they call it different names. This particular publisher, Carlson Learning Company, calls it the Personal Profile System, and they've actually developed the test. But like I said at the beginning, in 1990s, they just did a huge study to revise the items, because the words made sense to somebody who lived in 1950 but not 1990. So they changed some of the words around really recently.
Okay,
and there used to be 24 items and now there's 28 items.
So in regard to that, then how would this change over time? Say a couple took that in 70 and 25 years later down the road in their marriage, they take it again because...
Yeah, I think it could change over time, because when you're talking about personality tests, people say, well, personality is enduring over time. But this is like, they call it behavioral styles. This is the way you tend to relate in certain situations. And that could change over time. I'm convinced that my I was really, really low. And maybe it's gone up a little bit as a result of being in relationship with my wife. I've become more outgoing and friendlier. And I think that's part of my attraction to her, is I wanted to grow in that way, and she helps me to do that. And my wife has become much more stable, and I think that kind of came from me. So I think the longer you're married, the more you kind of rub off on each other almost, and kind of begin to take on some of those things. Yeah.
Compare this with the Myers-Briggs. Is that fairly much the same idea?
Yes, it's a very similar idea. The Myers-Briggs, to me, when I took it, it was a lot of jargony stuff in there that I can't even remember, the words. And to me, this is more user-friendly, in that the words are words that we all know. And so it's very similar. And there's been... validity studies that look at the similarities between these. And if you've taken the Myers-Briggs, you can see how each one might match a particular pattern of the Myers-Briggs. Yeah. So the Myers-Briggs is much more commonly used than this. But I like this better because it just makes more face validity. It makes more sense to me. It, People tend to like it. It's fun, you know. Simpler, I think, than the Myers-Briggs. Simpler, so it's easier to apply to your relationship.
Sounds like two D's would have trouble. Does that happen?
Well, they would fight a lot, you know, and they would argue with each other, and they would disagree with each other a lot, openly. And they might go their separate ways, you know. They might just decide, okay, you go work out, and I'm going to the birthday party, you know. An S would be more likely just to yield, you know. But they're just different styles of relating, you know. And so I think it's just going to be more, you're going to see it more here. But two adventuresome people, for instance, can have a lot of fun together. You know, it's like if I'm a high D and I want to go hike to Holden Lake or something, and my D might want to go also because she's adventuresome. And then if I decide I want to see how fast I can get there, my D partner might say, well, I can get there faster than you. And that might be kind of fun, you know? And I want to go play basketball, and she'll come out and play with me, and we'll have one-on-one, you know? So it's like my wife and I, we play tennis. She doesn't want to keep score, you know? But sometimes it's fun to keep score and compete, you know? My D is higher. So, you know, I think there's pros and cons to whatever the match is. You can think of it. I think in the handout, you know, there's a page, maybe it's not in this one. I guess I didn't include it in here, but it just, this is kind of interesting, the before and after marriage perspective. You can see, if, I don't know, is that in the yellow one?
Yes.
Okay, so you both have that one. And you can see that before marriage, we see our mate as, and then after marriage, so you can see that there are positive words in the left-hand column and more negative in the right-hand. And so I think we just need to remind ourselves, you know, why did I marry this person? What were these things that I liked about this person? What were the strengths? And I got to remind myself of that, you know. Like if my wife gets disorganized and I start getting really irritated about it because she's not as organized as I would like her to be, then I got to remind myself that, you know, she can have a lot more fun real spontaneously than I can, you know. And so, and part of that is, you know, it's kind of like a trade-off. So that can, that's something that I think about. Okay, any other?
How about two S's? You
see two S's? Two people high on S, you mean? Well, they'd be really nice to each other.
Those are people who say we've been married 20 years and never had a fight.
Yeah, been married a long time.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about marital adjustment versus marital happiness as psychologists. And they would have good marital adjustment, meaning they've been married for a long time, but maybe not a lot of marital happiness, you know. And so that could be the struggle for the S's. But sometimes it's, they wouldn't have the D problems, you know, that's for sure. And if they're, and they might like the fact that they have a steady, stable lifestyle, predictable life, safe. You know, they probably live in an area where they feel very safe and comfortable. They may work together at the same company, and that's where they meet. And so, and they both stay at that company for a long time. You know, it's interesting. Like looking for a job, you know, the D would look for opportunities for advancement and challenge. You know, when am I going to be the boss? And, you know, the C's would be reading the prospectus and looking at the financial viability of the corporation, interviewing the top executives or asking people who know them and studying and making sure it's a good, sound company, quality product and so on. And the S's aren't looking for a new job. You know, they're just happy where they're at and they don't want that kind of transition. Or they want to work for a company that's well established for many years. And the eyes, you know, they want to know, is there a mall nearby? So on my lunch break, I can have some fun. Where's the nearest happy hour location? I pick on the eyes a lot because I have this unconscious anger probably. It always comes out in seminars. Yeah. other questions about the disc? I think you could very easily just try and figure out where you're at, where your spouse is at. And one exercise that's in the relationship profile that you might want to try, and I'll just read it so I can get it right. And that would be, and you can think about this, is I appreciate your strengths. I'll just give you, do you want to hear a high D writing to a high S? Or a high S writing to a high D?
D.
D to S, okay. I'll read to you a high D writing to a high S. I appreciate your strengths of following through on tasks, being a good listener, being the calming influence. So you would write that down. I appreciate your strengths of, and you write it down. I can help you become more effective in your role by not changing direction without discussing it with you. You see how the S would like that, right? Providing more stable, predictable environment, being more patient with you, and explaining how I'm doing something. S is asking, you know, more of the how are we going to get it done? C's are saying, why are we going to do it? And D's are saying, what are we going to do? You know? The I's are saying, well, who's doing it? Who's going to be there? You can help me become more effective in my role by, and this is really good, you can help me become more effective as a spouse. And then the D says, helping me weigh pros and cons and thinking through risks before deciding, allowing for a more challenging environment and initiating more. So the D's asking the S to initiate more, see? Because the D might get tired of always being the initiator. And that's something that comes very naturally for a D, but not so naturally for the S. And the number one priority in interacting with me should be, and then the D person writes, getting to the bottom line quickly. You know, the D's are the ones looking at their watch, you know, and the D's say, what's the bottom line? They don't want to know why or who or just what is it. And then the following things that have potential to cause tension, your need for stability and my need to change. My tendency to make quick decisions without discussing it with you to consider what is best. So the D might just make a unilateral decision and not talk to the S about it. And so that's kind of what you can do with each other. Oh, heck. Let's see, it's 4:45, huh? Okay. And so I think you get the point. But this would be something that I've done in workshops with couples. I've actually had them sit down and work through this. And afterwards, they'll come up to me and they'll say, you know that exercise that we did, that you asked us to do? We talked about some things that, and these are couples who have been married 10 years. They said, we've talked about some things that we have never talked about for 10 years of being married together. So it can be pretty powerful, I think, and maybe even pretty surprising to find out, you know, what your spouse wants from you and to feel loved. So the bottom line is, the bottom line, this is for all the D's. The bottom line is, I'm thinking, buddy, how can you, as a high C with some D and whatever, love Claire, who's an IS, the way an IS would feel loved, rather than the way a C thinks, you know, an IS would feel loved. Okay? So that's really the bottom line to this. Helping us to love one another in ways to where we feel loved by one another. Okay, if there's any questions, I'll stick around for a few minutes afterwards. Otherwise, feel free to take a look at these at your leisure. Thanks for coming.